The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Good morning, Dermot.
Morning, Antoine. How are you?
The Ivy Gardens, absolutely beautiful small park in the centre of Dublin. Originally a garden, is it a good one?
It's an amazing garden, but it's different. It's different because for kind of decades, it's been a bit of a secret. That's begun to open up now with all sorts of events. But people didn't know it because maybe it wasn't so easy to find. It was behind a national concert hall and it didn't have a grand entrance, let's say, or doesn't have a grand entrance like St. Stephen's Green, the park, which would have, you know, two or three main entrances. So it's an extraordinary garden that just feels different when you go into it. And the reason for it feeling different is that it's packed with features that have evolved or been put there through many iterations, let's say, over hundreds of years.
Such as?
Well, it started off, there's this lad who we all know very fondly and who has been name-checked in at Croke Park at Ireland Finals, Copperface Jack. So the original lad was a guy called John, known as Jack Scott, a lawyer and an MP who was Ireland's Attorney General. He built a house called Clonmel House on Harker Street, which was an absolutely huge mansion. And it's still there to this day. It had two big wings, which were in time turned into individual houses. And across the road from that, he built an amazing garden for his own family. But he didn't have to cross the road because he had a tunnel going underground. So that was the first development in terms of being a private garden, which then went in the 18th century, turned into an amazing park.
And the way it was turned into a park, was it originally, have I this right, was it used by the Guinnesses in Ivy House and they then gave it to the state? Was that it?
So before them, it was owned by the Anger family. So we get Anger Street in Dublin. So this family bought it, I think, in about 1810. And they developed it into a formal garden known at the time as the Coburg Garden. The Coburg name was in honour of a royal family of Saxe-Coburg. That opened in 1817 and it became a pleasure ground. So this was a place for Georgians to walk up and down. There were beautiful pavilions, buildings, coffee houses. And in celebration of the coronation of King William during the summer of 1830, an amazing concert was held with fireworks and performance, and the king's son came to preside all over those festivities. But then in the 19th century, the property had come under the ownership of the third Earl of Clonmel, who commissioned an amazing garden designer, international garden designer, who his work would still be known today, Loudon, to redesign the garden. But by the 1860s, the garden had fallen into a really sad state of disrepair. Sheep grazed there and there was plenty of rubbish buried there. Then in 1863, come along the Guinness.
And I'm intrigued that there was events and exhibitions held there that long ago. I had always thought of it just being a sort of a private reserved space, but it was used for public events prior to the modern era.
What happened then in 1865 under the auspices of the Guinnesses was unbelievable. So there was a big exhibition called the Dublin Exhibition and a palace was built there. So if you think about the Crystal Palace over in London, if you think about Kew Gardens, the Palm House, or even the Palm House and the Botanic Gardens, we had our own right in the centre of the city in the Ivy Gardens. But not only that, part of what became the National Concert Hall was built for this exhibition. It was absolutely massive, a huge success. 930,000 people came to admire this Crystal Palace and everything that was kind of on show inside it. The pictures, if you go back and look on the internet, or I'll put some up on Instagram later on, the pictures are amazing. You don't see it as Dublin. It's just extraordinary exhibition stuff done on a grand scale. So no planning issues, built in a very short space of time with the patronage of, I suppose, the Guinness family and people turned out.
But that's interesting, because I always thought that the patronage of the Guinness family for the Ivy Gardens was a private patronage. I thought they kept it as their own garden.
At various times, it was their own garden, and certainly they introduced features into it, like a sunken garden for archery. It was sunken so that nobody would get injured if the arrows went astray, and they would have commissioned, you know, we talked about Loudon, but there was another Ninian Niven, who was the curator of the Scots guy from Edinburgh originally, curator of the Botanic Gardens in Glasnevin. He designed, introduced really many of the features we know to this day. So the Umays, the Rosarium, the roses, the grotto, and the amazing cascade. So this cascade that we can go has just torrents of water coming down. But the one of the fascinating things about the cascade in the garden is that it has stones from all 32 counties of Ireland. The whole area was modelled on the famous Tivoli Gardens in Denmark. And between what Ninian Niven did and the exhibits that were left over from this great exhibition, that's the garden that we know and love and that is used for many events to this day.
Well, you say know and love. I have been in it many times. I never knew that thing about the cascade having stones from all 32 counties of Ireland. That's very interesting.
It's fascinating. And it's quite dark and grotto-like, and there is a stumpery in the garden. So that's high Victoriana in terms of the drama that you get. Last week on this one, I was talking to Pat about garden stories. We looked at the fountains of the Villa d'Este in Tivoli, just outside of Rome. But this fountain, with the 32 county stones, it rivals them all. And the planting behind it is lush. So to get this torrent of water on a hot summer's day in the middle of Dublin is just such, it awakens the senses. It's really, really quite brilliant.
And am I right in saying, Dermot, that it has had something of a resurgence? Because a few quid has been thrown at it in the last couple of decades.
Yeah, so it goes through the history of the gardens, as is the history of the Villa d'Este and any of the, we talked before about the gardens of Versailles. They go through periods where people aren't interested. Maybe it's not politically right to look after them. Maybe it goes into private ownership. Or maybe there just isn't money around. So over the parts of the 20th century, certainly the gardens fell into a period of neglect. And there was a period where Guinness, the company, were just using it to store beer barrels. So, and I suppose all of that builds up the rich history. And what I'm particularly fascinated by, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do it on Garden Stories this week, is, of course, Netflix are about to do this amazing series focusing on the Guinness family and Benjamin Guinness, who was the guy who originally took over this garden. So it may be that through CGI, we see this Crystal Palace rebuilt. And wouldn't that be amazing?
That'd be something to look forward to. Dermot, fascinating. Thank you very much. That is the one and only Dermot Gavin. And that's pretty much it for us on The Pat Kenny Show.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.